This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Good morning, golf fans. Hello there. Welcome to another Masters Preview Show, part of our triple header today across TSN, TSN Radio Network. Adam Scully back in Toronto. Great to be back here in the T-Dot alongside Kristen Murphy. Murph, what is happening?
It's Masters week. I mean, what isn't happening? And I have to start, Adam, by saying you just went to Augusta for your first time. You know the course in and out from following it for so many years, but how did it rank as far as your expectation? And I mean, I feel like we could do a whole show on this alone, but try and give us something about what your impressions were of that track.
Totally. So, I mean, as you can imagine, having watched this tournament forever, I wrote notes on every hole. There's not enough time today to go through all that. We'll be here for a month. But for those watching, those listening, I experienced the course for the first time. I walked it from start to finish, which I was hoping to do, and I was hoping to do solo. I wanted to take it all in. I didn't want to be rushed here by someone or talking to someone here, which was great. So there's so many cool things about Augusta that people obviously know about. There's no cell phones,
right?
Which is certainly different given it's 2024 and people are taking video of whoever on a golf course and some grainy video that, quite frankly, you're probably never going to watch again at every other event.
Well, and if you don't have a photo of it, I'm not quite confident that it actually happened, Adam.
So on that, so people are carrying around digital cameras. Who uses a digital camera anymore? Nobody, right? So, but no, I got to go walk the entire golf course, start to finish. I stood on the back of every tee that I could. And the only tees that you couldn't do that were 13, because you can't get back to 13. Mm-hmm. And 14, you couldn't get all the way back there. And the way I would describe it is, people use the line, TV doesn't do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can firmly say that TV doesn't do it justice.
Okay.
And then some. The elevation changes are like so severe, so crazy. The bunkers are so deep, like so deep. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot about Tiger Woods today. And, you know, obviously he's been through a couple of ankle surgeries since the accident and he's hobbling around there, seems to be pain free. I'm 32 years old. I'd like to think I'm in pretty good shape. My shins are still hurting from walking that golf course. It's a hard walk, Murph. It's a really hard walk.
Well, I mean, I was going to say you're kind of a no days off kind of guy when it comes to the gym. And so to hear that you struggled a little bit walking the course, the first thing I think of is Tiger Woods and just how does that body, given that history, what's gone on with that body, how does that work? And I mean, he's obviously going after the made cut streak at Augusta this week, but it's pretty incredible considering everything he's been through that he's been able to do that given just what kind of a tough track that is to walk.
Yeah, it's a crazy big ballpark to walk. The property is massive, like beyond massive. The media center is the nicest building I've ever walked into. It's just like the whole place is mind-boggling. The whole place is amazing. But we have so many storylines to get to this week. We'll still touch upon my experience at Augusta, both on and off the golf course. Pimento cheese sandwich. We're going to get my full recap ratings, full breakdown on that. But hey, Masters preview show. Tons of great storylines heading into this week. Mark Sacchino going to be back in person. Haven't seen Mark Sacchino in 3D. I don't know. Since at some point in January, I think Mark is back in Canada. I have to ask how crossing the border was. It's been some time. Mark is back. Johan Benson from RDS, our friends from RDS. He is at Augusta National. Hey, he played Augusta National last year. Hey, he eagled the first hole at Augusta National last year. Yeah, it's like a video game. Hard to believe.
Yeah, setting the bar pretty high on the first hole. And then I guess what happens after that maybe doesn't even matter because you can just say, you eagled the first.
Yeah, how'd you start on one? Made a deuce. Okay, that's
how did
good.
Two go? No comment.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, 20 weeks of TaylorMade back, 3 major prizes we're giving away this week. But let's start things off, as we always do, with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Breaking news, Mark Zucchino is actually in the building already. Well, I think we'll get him here in the next segment because he still looks the same. Anyway, we'll see how Mark's looking when he gets back here in studio. But Murph, for you, you know, you're going to be writing some of the highlight packs this week. You've got 14 pages of notes there in front of you, maybe not that many. So you're dialed in here.
Right.
When you look at the Masters this week, what is the number one thing you're looking at?
Well, first of all, just to clarify, 13 of these 14 pages were actually questions for you about Augusta. So half of them are out the window, if not more. I mean, let's start with the needle himself, Tiger Woods, going for that streak. I find it kind of interesting every time Tiger tees it up in a major. We go through this cycle of the earlier media conferences at the start of the week. Tiger, do you think you can win? Yes. You know, he seems confident that he can. He doesn't just enter a field to kind of be a name on a list. I mean, we know that he's the ultimate competitor, and I believe that he believes he can win. As far as my personal faith in him getting it done, it's certainly faded with each event he plays, and because he plays so rarely. And so in order for him to contend, never mind winning, but let's just talk about contending on the weekend here, it would have to be a perfect sequence of events, which I think, given his health, his history, his age, is nearly impossible. And then that doesn't even take into consideration the caliber of golfers he's up against. So three other guys could have their perfect week as well. I think it's very unlikely that he's contending on Sunday, but I do think he can make the cut. We know that history matters at Augusta, knowing the course, where you can leave your ball, where you can't, because we know there are big numbers out there. Tiger knows these greens more than anybody, and he can roll the rock. So I think he makes the cut. I think maybe it's a little closer than some would like, but I think he still is one of the biggest storylines coming in, and he always will be as long as he's teeing it up.
As he has to be. And, you know, the last time we saw Tiger in competition, he was face in palms, probably had the sweats going on after whatever was going on in his stomach there at the Genesis Invitational. But one thing that I think could be a good thing for Tiger this week, and I'm curious for your perspective, is the weather. It's going to be pretty hot down there. And, you know, last year during the third round, it was cold, it was rainy. Tiger had 14 layers on, and he couldn't walk because of his ankle. So the warm weather has to help him.
It certainly has to help him. And you reference sort of him hobbling around Augusta last year. I have memory burns from some of those visuals, because in my mind, I'm thinking, this could honestly be it for him. And conditions matter so much. And I think you're right. The fact that it's going to be warm, that can only help him. And I just hope that we really get to see him play four rounds of golf. I think that is kind of where my expectations are at.
Yeah, and, you know, we spent a lot of time at the end of last year before the Hero World Challenge, where Tiger sort of shocked everyone and said, I'm hoping to play one tournament a month in 2024. And now he said, he sort of came back on that statement yesterday in a question when he was asked about it and said, hey, I think that one tournament a month can start this week. So I don't know. I mean, like, when he doesn't play much competitive golf anymore, but he knows the place so well that, and even, you know, I was doing a radio hit before this and saying, you know, there was a buzz in the air yesterday morning at Augusta National playing a practice round. It doesn't matter. The scores don't count. Never count Tiger Woods out, right?
No, never. And one of the big takeaways from the media availability yesterday was when he was talking about just how much he loves golf.
Yeah.
If you are in love with golf the way he is, and he very clearly is, he puts in the work, he genuinely loves putting in the work. And not everyone feels that same way about a sport that they're naturally talented at, and that's what separates him. But man, it made me feel something, and I think whenever Tiger is playing at Augusta, it makes people feel something. You can't avoid it.
And speaking of emotions, Scottie Scheffler got a little choked up yesterday talking about his beliefs and, you know, what is he most known for, that sort of thing. And when you look at this tournament, Scottie Scheffler is the favorite, and then there's another group of people, you know, first T2 in his last three events. My question to you is, how far do you think the gap is Scottie Scheffler from the rest of the competition?
I think it's massive, and we've already seen what he's accomplished this year. Just this season, he wins at the Arnold Palmer, he wins the Players back-to-back, he almost wins three in a row, and he came as close as you possibly can. We know what his statistics are in virtually almost every category. He's at the top. Specifically, his approaches are just everyone, you expect it to be like 10 feet.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's like in robot mode. It's so impressive. We've seen the putter trending in the right direction ever since he moved to the mallet. And so if he can have his typical week when it comes to those iron shots and just have an average putting week, then I think he's going to be pretty unstoppable. And one thing that I think separates him, that I heard from him yesterday that you don't hear from every guy, is kind of how he looks at golf in terms of he doesn't value himself based on his performance on the course. He doesn't look at, okay, I missed a cut, which he never does. That's a bad example. But, you know, I didn't strike it the way I wanted to. I feel bad about myself. He very much wants to be the best person, best guy he can be off the course, and he attributes that to how he was raised and how his dad raised him. And I think, I wonder if his ability to separate, I think his quote was, you know, golf is what I do, it's not who I am. So his ability to separate those two things, I wonder if that's been a reason why he's been so successful, because he doesn't take that baggage home. He's more thinking about being a good husband, a good son, whatever it might be. And I think that's really impressive. A lot of people say that. When it comes to Scotty, I really believe it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And on a lighter note, the beard is back for Scotty Scheffler.
It is back.
You know, so as we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, doesn't know how to trim a beard, but the beard is back for Scotty.
He's obviously not superstitious. He's just kind of like, I'm just going to show up, play some golf.
Try it here and there.
Win.
Yeah, win a lot. And there's a great article on how Tiger Scotty has switched to the TaylorMade QI10 driver and how that's really helped him. We're not going to get into how that's helped you so far, unless you, I mean, 30
I've
yards.
I've gained some distance, Adam, but yeah. that's a topic for another day. Yeah. This is Masters Week.
This is Masters Week, and someone else using the QI10 driver is Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. And Rory McIlroy is always a hot topic, looking for the career Grand Slam. From what you heard from him yesterday, just overall from what you've seen this season, what are your expectations for Rory this week?
You know, Rory is one of a bunch of guys where I'm finding it really hard to gauge how they're going to do this week. I like Rory as a person, as a golfer. I want him to do well. I want him to end that drought. I want him to end the storyline and the narrative that, you know, it's been so long. Can he get the career Grand Slam? This is going to be his 10th attempt at it, which seems like a lot, but, you know, golf tournaments are hard to win. So it's not that crazy that he hasn't. But the storyline certainly follows him around. And he's very obviously aware of that. It seems like he's trying to do things differently. He was like the last guy to arrive to the course.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem very Rory-like in general. He's been working with Butch Harmon. He seems to be doing things differently. We know how he can hit the ball off the tee. So, you know, he puts himself in these great positions to attack pins, but then the approach game seems to have been letting him down. He's coming off a good week in that regard at the Valero, but at Augusta, he's struggled with that. And so you're not taking advantage of that distance and accuracy off the tee, then I don't think you're going to be there in the end. It's great for a top 10, maybe a top 5. But even just looking at his last few Masters, 2 missed cuts with a second place finish in between those, it's very hard to gauge where Rory's at. But I think if he can just be patient with himself, take it, you know, it sounds cliche, but like shot for shot, round by round, and not be thinking about getting that career slam, but just not playing yourself out of it early. So I think his start is going to be pretty key.
And Rory McIlroy has played 15 career Masters. He's only shot in the 60s in the opening round twice.
Right.
So that's the issue. He's behind the eight ball very early. Well, we're just getting started here on GTC. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other players, defending champion John Rahm, major machine Brooks Koepka, and Wyndham Clark. Hey, this guy's playing very well. And let's just say the shirt he wore yesterday in that practice round, that was not so hot. Plus the Z-Man joining us as well a little later in the show as well. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Welcome back inside our Masters preview show. Adam Scully alongside Kristen Murphy. And I have to give a shout out to the boys from Overdrive. yesterday. And Murph, you're the one who told me about this. I'm sitting at the gate in the Hotlanta airport, and my phone just starts absolutely going off. The boys from Overdrive, I want to directly quote Jeff O'Neill, called me a man rocket.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I always listen to Overdrive every day. Big fan.
Right.
But I was prepping some Golf Talk Canada behind the scenes work, diligently dedicated to my work. But then I had TSN on in the other room and I heard man rocket. And so I went rocketing from one room to the other, did a little rewind, heard it. And yes, they were singing your praises. They mentioned that maybe you don't miss arm day yourself, much like Tiger Woods. And there was maybe some chatter about the tightness of a shirt and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this stems from Bob Weeks posted a photo of the crew, Tang Tuesday.
Yes.
So everyone wears Tang. And you might notice that the other on-air talent weren't in the photo. Why? Because they forgot to bring Tang shirts.
So they were just cut out of the photo?
Bob took the photo.
Yeah.
And Graham and James were
making smoothies or something. That's a miss.
I don't know. Anyway, so thanks to the boys.
Next year.
So yeah, next year, mix in some Tang. Now, heading into this week at the Masters, so many storylines. We were talking off mic about Jon Rahm, who's the defending champion. And let's say his press conference yesterday was weird, it was awkward. You can just tell, Murph, that this guy is regretting going to LIV.
I know, and it's tough to watch. I don't want to say I feel sorry for him, because I don't. He got a big old bag of money.
Yeah.
Jon Rahm's going to be just fine. But I think what it shows is what sets Jon Rahm apart from, say, Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka is that Rahm seems to actually really miss playing on the PGA Tour. He's alluded to not being able to defend some of his title wins. And, you know, not being able to play some of his favorite tracks. We know how much he loves Torrey Pines, for example. So it's kind of hard to watch. And because he was one of the more recent guys to go over to LIV, and he's the defending champion, there's a lot going on there. He's hosting the dinner, and he's still trying to win a golf tournament. But it definitely seems like there's some regret there. So I would expect him to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder this week, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was right in the mix. He's such a competitive guy, and you know he wants it bad.
Someone else who generally has a chip on his shoulder is Brooks Koepka, who this season on LIV has just been brutal, to say the least. But at majors, he flips the switch. What do you think about Koepka's chances for this week?
I don't think you can ever count him out. He makes no qualms about only caring about the major championships. And he seems to be one of the few guys that's actually capable of flipping a switch and performing well in majors when he doesn't seem to be as competitively driven in other tournaments. I mean, like, full disclosure, I don't watch a lot of LIV golf, and I'm finding it very hard to gauge a lot of these golfers. Brooks has a proven track record of showing up and contending in majors as recently as last year. So, yeah, I expect him to be there. There's other LIV guys that I find harder to gauge, like a Cam Smith. We know how much talent he has. He's an amazing putter. His short game, the creativity, he's a master, and he's shown that around Augusta. Obviously, he's never won, but I just haven't seen him play in so long, and I think he didn't play last week in Miami because he had an illness of some sort. So there's just a lot of wild card names out there, but that's on both sides. You've got big names on the PGA Tour side, Jordan Spieth's, people of that ilk, where it's just really hard to judge what kind of a week they're having based on the season.
100%. And, you know, when you look at this week, too, we're here in Canada, so we love featuring and talking about the Canadians who all played a practice round Tuesday morning yesterday. Which of the four Canadians do you think, if you could pick one, has the best chance of contending for a green jacket to come Sunday?
I think it has to be Nick Taylor. He's having a great season. He picked up the big win in February at the WM Phoenix Open in front of a raucous crowd. Certainly, we don't expect the patrons at Augusta, this is Augusta, to be exhibiting that kind of buffoonery, if you will, Adam, but it's still a major stage. It is the holy grail of golf, and we've seen what Nick Taylor can do in big moments. Naturally, the Canadian Open comes to mind, a 72-foot eagle putt in a playoff to make history and end a crazy long drought. So we've seen him rise to the occasion. We've seen him hit crazy clutch putts down the stretch to put himself in positions to win. And once he seems to turn that corner, it seems like there's no looking back. So I think for Nick Taylor, the next step in his career will be contending in a major. And I don't see why that couldn't be this week. Just a fun little side note, he is turning 36 this Sunday. And what better way to spend your birthday than maybe fighting for a green jacket down the stretch, huh?
Just writing the script right now. Just celebrates his birthday. Oh, Nick Taylor. That would be really cool. That would be something you know, it would be the next step in his career because he hasn't played well at majors at all in the past. But, you know, there's these Canadians, they're not only looking at this week, but this year is a big one. You got Presidents Cup and the Olympics, too. That's
right. I was going to say, and for Adam Hadwin and Corey Connors, Corey Connors has a great record around this course as well. You know, he's such a great striker of the ball, and that goes a long way at Augusta. This is his seventh Masters. So again, the history and having experience at Augusta means more than it does at other courses. So I expect Corey to play well in addition to Nick Taylor. But really for all three, there's just that added motivation of trying to impress international captain Mike Weir and, you know, to do it at Augusta, given Mike Weir's history there. I think all four Canadians are going to be really trying to impress this week and hopefully find themselves on some of those other teams.
And there's a lot of struggling superstars right now on the PGA Tour, guys who haven't won yet this season. You think of a Spieth, a Morikawa, Cantlay, Hovland, Justin Thomas. You know, Xander Schauffele's played very well but hasn't won. Yeah. Is there anyone from, you know, those notables who had really good 2023s, 22s, etc., that you think are primed or trending maybe in the right direction? Any of those guys?
I mean, I just think given Xander Schauffele's record in majors, having never actually won a major, he would be a guy to look at. I also love the grouping of Xander, Scottie Scheffler, and Rory. You talk about three guys that are each trying to do something different from the other one, but the competition level is as high as it can be in that group. So I wouldn't be shocked to see all of them go low and kind of have sort of a game within a game in that group. So Xander, someone who I always root for, but I'm just really finding it hard to get behind this year, is Jordan Spieth. Just given what I saw last week alone, and just taking that aside, he was making hole-in-ones. We saw every shape on his scorecard last week in Texas. And, you know, on Saturday on 18, he was in spots. Just, he's on top of clubhouse roofs. He's on sewer grates. It was the Jordan Spieth experience. But he's always just one hole away from just sheer brilliance. And, you know, we know he can get it done at Augusta, so I think it'll be fun to watch how he does. But again, just such a wild card. And for me, that's just a big theme this week in general, is just there's so many names where it could really go either way, and that makes it exciting.
And you'll be a big part of the crew, the content crew, putting together highlight packs. How many Masters is this now for you?
This will be number four.
Wow, okay. And what would you say, what's your favorite part of doing what you do this week? Aside from being here right now,
I mean,
obviously.
That goes without saying. But that's the obvious answer. You know, I just love watching all the golf.
Yeah.
And really, I'm kind of a golf purist. And I just, the simplicity of how Augusta is covered, how we cover it here at TSN, I think it's just some of the best coverage out there. And you get to see so much and the analysis. And it's just such a special week. And it never disappoints me. Like, it's never like, oh, last year was great. I hope this year lives up. It always does. And I get kind of goosebumps coming into this week. And it's just one of those things where I look forward to it each and every year.
It's going to be so much fun. And you're doing some of the early coverage. So your highlights will be read, I believe, by James Duthie and Lindsay Hamilton.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's awesome.
Exactly. And then that also means selfishly that I get to go home and watch a little golf when my work is done. And that's the kind of golf sicko I am. I go from working with golf to golfing in my spare time, watching all the golf once I'm done putting the golf work together. And that's just, I mean, you suffer the same thing, Adam.
Yeah, it's a sickness. And, you know, you've gained 30 yards of distance. You know, we couldn't even get into that. There's so much that we'll have to get into next time around. But hey, Murph, blast having you here in studio. Great to be reunited back here in the T-Dot. Enjoy the coverage. This week, it's going to be so much fun. The Masters is here. Enjoy the coverage.
Can't wait. Thanks, Adam.
Absolutely. Okay, that is Kristen Murphy. When we come back here on GTC, Mark Sacchino can confirm is in the building. He gave hugs to both of us in the commercial break. He is back. Johan Benson from RDS also joining us over the phone. This, Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC presented by TaylorMade was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
reunited, and it feels so good. Welcome back inside GTC. Adam Scully alongside in person for the first time since who knows when. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Buddy, how are you?
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Wow.
In the living flesh, and now we get to see each other every day.
What? Okay, was the last time we saw each other, was it January in Hawaii in person?
Come
on. Is there another time?
There had to be somewhere in between that.
Honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I think there has to be somewhere in
there. Maybe.
My life has just been one giant golf tournament.
Yeah.
I've had 2 weeks off since the start of the year. The only two tournaments I didn't cover was the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Mexico event in Vedanta. Other than that, I've been going radio live, like PGA Tour live, PGA Tour back and forth, doing our Golf Talk Canada. Thank you and Bob holding down the fort.
Anytime.
But we can get into it. I'm going to be here with you the whole show.
Yeah.
And then we're together every day
covering
Masters. So let's get to our guest in the meantime, and then you and I can get caught up.
Yeah, well, someone who I just met for the first time, he's at Augusta National right now. He's played Augusta National, too. That's Johan Benson from RDS, who now joins us on the line. Johan, what's going on right now?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We are good, my friend. Thanks for coming on here this morning. What's the vibe like right now on the grounds at Augusta?
Well, there's a lot of patrons on site. It's the obviously it's the Wednesday at the Masters, so it's the par 3 tournament that is going to be underway a little later today, but a lot of people around the driving range, a lot of people obviously going at the gift shop to purchase things. And, a lot of people on the grounds today in beautiful weather, nice and humid, and it's about 70 degrees Fahrenheit right now.
All right, Johan, two quick questions for you right off the top, because my first Masters was 2003. I immediately went to the pimento cheese sandwich because I had to. That was the last year I had pimento and cheese. I said, okay, I did it. Don't ever ask me to do that again. So I know you've done a numerous amount of Masters. Are you still doing pimento cheese? And the second question I have for you is, how concerned are we right now about the forecast Thursday morning? I know there's potential rain coming. I know it's going to be warm, which is great if we're all pushing Tiger to the weekend. But could there be enough rain coming where it might be a delay in action? Could we be playing catch up? Because if Tiger's got to go out on a Friday and play more than 18 holes, that's probably not a good thing.
Well, to answer your first question, yes, I did have the pimento cheese sandwich. It's tolerable, but it's not my favorite. I'd say the egg salad would be my favorite, and the chicken salad, which came on board about 2 years ago, would be a close second. But the pimento cheese sandwich is tolerable, but it's really a last resort if there's none of the other sandwich available. As far as the forecast, it is looking like it's going to be a problem, and I've spoke to my team here that's here with me, my co-hosts and cameramen, that, you know, I strongly believe, or I'm unfortunately believing that I believe that the second round might be finishing on Saturday with the forecast, with the amount of rain that they are forecasting tomorrow. And you have to feel for, I mean, you guys have been to the Masters, but the poor patrons that have tickets for tomorrow and only for tomorrow, you got to feel for them, because if it rains and they can't, if the course is closing or anything like that and they can't come to Augusta, you got to feel for some, you know, lifelong dreams of witnessing or to be on the grounds at the Masters. So hopefully we're going to see a lot of golf tomorrow. Hopefully it breaks up a little bit, but as of now, it's not looking very promising tomorrow.
Okay, fingers crossed that does certainly switch. And I admit, to your point, though, at least it's going to be warm, so that's something. But when we look at this field, there's Scottie Scheffler, and then there's the rest, really. First T2 in his last three starts. Johan, how wide is the gap between Scottie Scheffler and the rest of the field right now?
Well, I had a chance to watch him play closely. I saw Mark at the Players Championship, so I saw Scottie at Bay Hill. I saw him at the Players. He looks in form, and for the top players in the world, there's not a lot of them that come in with great form other than Scottie Scheffler. I mean, Rory had a decent week last week, but Scottie, it's his ball striking. It's his ability to maneuver the ball, different heights. And what really amazes me, especially at Bay Hill, where it was, you know, it gets so firm and fast over the weekend, it's his ability to, if he has to land the ball at 180 or 190, he does it better than anybody else with the right trajectory, the right height. So, I mean, as you guys know, Augusta National, it's a premium on iron play. So all the guys that are good iron players, because it's not too difficult off the tee. It's a long golf course, but it's not very penalizing off the tee. So it's a second shot golf course, and if you can hit the right section of the greens, you're going to have a lot of success, which, you know, that's I guess it's Scottie Scheffler's biggest asset is his iron play.
You know, it's interesting you go there, Johan, because I was been thinking the last few days, and everybody always asks me, you know, is there somebody we're not talking about who you think could be there Sunday? And to your point, I believe there's Scottie Scheffler and then a giant cliff and everybody else. And what I mean by that is Scottie Scheffler might not win this event. If he brings his A game, he's going to win by five or more. But if he plays his B or C game, he's still going to have a chance to win on Sunday. He showed that at Houston, where he, for Scottie Scheffler standards, that was a mediocre ball striking week for Scottie Scheffler in Houston, and he lost by one shot on the last screen. That being said, though, from an iron play standpoint, I'm thinking about the fact that because you mentioned the rest of the best players in the world are not in the greatest of form, could this be the year we see a first-timer? Could this be the year that we finally go, okay, 79, Fuzzy Zeller, throw out 34 and 35. I mean, everybody was practically a first-timer at the first one and second one. So really, there's only been one first-timer, Fuzzy Zeller. And a name like Wyndham Clark jumps completely out of the board at me. You mentioned great iron players. Greens and regulation is a huge stat at Augusta National. He's inside the top 10 in greens regulation on the PGA Tour. But more importantly, he's inside the top five when you go greens and regulation, including fringe. And I like that stat better because it shows that a guy is still shooting at the hole locations. He's not playing 30 feet to the fat side of the flag all day. So what are your thoughts on Wyndham? And what are your thoughts at the narrative that maybe this is the year because the class of first-timers look really solid?
Yeah, Wyndham Clark is definitely on my radar. As far as you mentioned, it's proximity to the hole at Augusta is really, really important. And it's one of those courses, you know, if we think about Bay Hill, it's a long golf course with flat greens. So you simply have to hit a quality shot. Here at Augusta, you have the experience is a factor because you can use the slope to bring the ball towards the hole. And proximity to the hole is really important here because if you do hit the green but you're 30 or 40 feet away, I mean, there are some instances where the best you're going to be able to do is three putt from where you're going to be. So proximity to the hole is very important. Wyndham Clark obviously is going to have to change a little bit. He's a fader of the golf ball off the tee, so he's going to have to work a little bit against his natural flight to be able to have success here at Augusta. But as far as iron play goes, he's right up there. One guy that I really have my eye on is Ludvig Åberg. I had a chance to play in the U.S. Open qualifier last year in Toronto at Lambton Country Club, and Ludvig played in the group behind me. And guys, I've never seen or I've rarely seen a combination of height and straightness like Ludvig is able to do. So he's, I think, as far as a first timer, he would be my favorite, I think, to maybe wear the green jacket at the end. He's got the temperament, he's got the all around game, and it's just a superb ball flight that he has. And I'm sure, Mark, you've had a chance to watch him play in the last few months, and it's almost like a PlayStation player. Like he hits it so straight, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. There's no weaknesses, right? Like Adam, yeah. I mean, when you look at Ludvig Åberg, you go, okay, he might not be the best in the world at anything, but there's nothing he's not good at.
Yeah, 100%. There's nothing he's not good at, and he's got a really good head on his shoulders, too. He had some short game issues at Torrey Pines, missing some short putts, and instead of getting frustrated, he started laughing, right? So he's got a really good head on his shoulders, and you know he's won on the PGA Tour, won on the DP World Tour, won a Ryder Cup, making his major debut this week. Look out for Ludvig Åberg. Okay, Johan, what about Tiger Woods? You know, he's always going to be a story. He's back playing this week. I saw him with my own eyes yesterday, and he's clearly had to, you know, continue to rebuild his body, really, and that upper body. He looks like a bodybuilder, I must say, because he has to, because he can't push off that right side very well, and he seems confident to a degree in his game heading into this week. How are you feeling about Tiger heading into this week?
Well, same as you. I saw him on Monday morning. I saw him a bit yesterday. His swing looks good, mm-hmm. and, you know, his contact with the ball looks crisp, as it always does. He seems to be striking the ball very nicely. Again, it's just the demand. All he did was 9 holes per day. Playing 18 holes, Augusta is a very, very hard golf course to walk. I posted on my social media, I did the patron walk, all 18 holes on Monday, and you're talking about 14,000 steps. You're talking about, you know, almost 10 kilometers. You're talking about going up and down 15 flights. So it is a very demanding walk, and especially if he has to walk more than 18 holes in a day, it's going to be his level of energy and the pain. Like I would never want to see the Tiger I saw last year with the screws basically coming out of his ankle when he had to withdraw last year. Hopefully he can. I mean, he's on the cusp of a nice record here at Augusta for cuts made. So, you know, and he's such a big draw. Like, as you saw Adam on the course yesterday, he draws a lot of people and a lot of attention, and he is so nice to be around now. So it's a lot of fun, and I really hope that he's there for the weekend. And if he could be in contention, he just has to get through the first two rounds because of the weather we're announcing tomorrow. If he can get through the first two rounds, you know, at a decent pace, then we could be in for a really, really nice weekend at the Masters.
At this point, Augusta just makes the rules up. Like, they do what they want, when they want, how they want. That's the power of Augusta National. Why don't we just make a rule at this point? If you've got 5 green jackets or more, you're allowed to take a golf cart. Like, I mean,
I love it.
Just let the guy just ride around, right? Okay, Johan, before we let you go, I'm just curious. I hope I'm completely wrong on this. I really am, because I'm a huge Rory McIlroy fan. I think it's a wonderful story. For him to complete a career Grand Slam at Augusta would be just an epic. One of the biggest sports stories of the year would transcend golf in a way, which golf doesn't do often. Usually Tiger has to do something for it to transcend golf. Obviously, north of the border, what Nick Taylor did last year transcended the game of golf. But Rory, I do like what he said in the press room. You can't win it on Thursday morning, so stop trying to win it with your opening tee shot. So I like the language he used. But from what I've seen from Rory, the lack of concentration issues, the ups and downs, the playing golf swing instead of playing golf. The only reason I think he makes the cut this week is because it's Augusta and it's almost impossible to miss the cut. I don't have a lot of high hopes for Rory. What do you expect, if anything, this week?
I love the pairing in which he's with. I love that the fact that he's playing with Scheffler and Schauffele. I think that's really going to help as far as just seeing what the guys are doing. And he, obviously, most likely, he'll be watching really good golf. So a lot of times that helps as well when you're playing with players that are playing good. It kind of feeds off the group. So I think he's got a great pairing. I he changed the recipe this year. He played the week before the Masters, which he usually doesn't do. He came in real late. Because it's a Masters or any majors or the Players' Championship, it's a long week for players, because usually Wednesday, the Pro-Am, is your practice round. So usually guys get there Tuesday, play the practice round or play the Pro-Am, and then they're ready to go on Thursday. But when it's a major and there's no Pro-Ams or nothing like that, some guys got here Sunday. So there's a lot of days, and there's a lot of thinking that you can do before you have to tee it up in the first round. There's a lot of things that can happen in your mind, and, you know, you can have a really poor mindset. But I think that coming in, having played last week, he had a decent result, and he seems to be rounding into form. And, again, the grouping that he's in, like, he's going to be watching really good golf with two great guys. So I think that's going to help as well.
Well, Johan, it's going to be a great week. You're there at Augusta National for RDS. Enjoy it, my friend, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Johan.
That's Johan Benson from RDS. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, throughout the next hour and 10 minutes or so, we'll take a deep dive into all the major storylines at Augusta National this week. We'll do an all-time Masters edition of Winners, Weird, and What, and we'll talk about some of the food on the property, too, because I have a hot take, Mark, that I think you're going to think maybe I'm a little crazy. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up hour one here on GTC, Scully and Zucchino here in studio. That just feels really good to say.
Yeah, when's the last time you, Bob, and I have all been around this table in this studio together?
2022. I don't know.
It's going to happen in the playoffs because yeah. I don't believe Bob's going to do a TSN travel schedule for the playoffs. He might go to the Tour Championship.
Maybe.
But when we kick off the playoffs, which is FedEx, Memphis, FedEx St. Jude Championship, I'm not working it. I don't think Bob's TSN schedule does it. You'll be here. We'll be in studio Wednesday radio simulcast TSN 2. I know the three of us will be at the desk for 2 hours.
Mark your calendars, everybody.
Yeah. You'll see it's it only now. What 5 months from now.
That's fine. Fine. Left hands, you know. We'll, you know. But anyway, looking forward to that. But and you know, coming up in hour two, we'll take a deep dive into my experience at Augusta National. We did the same thing with Murph to kick off hour one.
I have so many questions.
Mark has so many questions, and I'm going to answer each and every one of those questions. But it's that time of year, you know, Masters Week. It's great tradition, and tradition for us on Golf Talk Canada. It's 20 weeks of TaylorMade. And Mark, hey, it's back. You can register right now for 20 weeks of TaylorMade.
I've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of people hitting up. How do I win this year? Is there a pool? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? No, no, no. Just go to golftalkcanada.com, golftalkcanada.com. Just register once. You just got to go in, register once. You're in for 20 weeks. And you're going to have a chance at over $35,000 in prizing, including a grand prize, custom fit, through the bag, get treated like Rory for the day, TaylorMade golf clubs, trip for two to Casa de Campo, and new this year, an opportunity to play golf with you, Bob, and myself at the home of the RBC Canadian Open this year, Hamilton Golf and Country Club. Thank you to our friends at Movember for that. So we've got Movember, Casa de Campo, and of course, our beloved presenting sponsor, one of presenting sponsor, along with our friends at Big Tim Mahoney, TaylorMade. Obviously, we're thrilled, we're excited, but get there and register. I mean, don't miss the first draws Monday.
First draw is Monday. We're giving away over $35,000 in prizing this year. And you may wonder, hey, what are we giving away this week? Well, Mark, it's a major week. And because it's a major week, we thought we'd give away three major prizes. A set of P700 series irons. A limited edition Masters staff bag. $1 million. A limited edition master staff bag that Team Taylor
made. Have you seen those?
I saw it in person.
It looks so good.
My jaw was on the floor.
Yeah, looks awesome.
My jaw was on the ground seeing that.
Nick, if you got extra of those, Adam and I would take those.
Yeah,
right?
100%. And hey, if that wasn't enough, six dozen TP5 or TP5X golf balls, the golf ball that is helping players who play the game professionally gain half a
That's
club.
That's crazy.
Half a club. They play this game professionally.
I've got equipment issues we need to get to in hour two as well. Who's coming on after us at noon today?
I don't.
Can you
it's
call them,
program.
Chris? Can you just tell them that they're bumped? Like we're gonna just stay here till overdrive. We got so much to get to. Just so, like Golf Talk Canada's taken over. If TV wants to stay, they can. I don't think radio's got a choice. Let me text Jeff, Mr. McDonald, and just say, because Jeff, you know, no one loves the Masters more than Mr. McDonald.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard from Jeff in several months because I've been working so hard.
Right.
Guess who I spoke to on the way home in the car and had a lengthy, in-depth Masters conversation with? Guess who is so pumped?
And how much of this conversation was Tiger related? 99%
heavy
of it?
Duty. So Jeff and I have decided that we are flying down to Jupiter at some point and getting on Tiger's team, the two of us, and we've decided to rework his schedule. We can't figure out why he started on the West Coast. Yes, the foundation's in L.A., but we know the West Coast is the coldest, dampest stretch of the year. If Tiger had just waited a few more weeks, got himself in some better condition, and started on the Florida swing, somewhere flat, somewhere hot, Players, Bay Hill, something like that, Palm Beach, stay in your own bed. Play the cognizant. Skip the other. Stay in your own bed. We agreed if he had started there, he'd be in way better position right now at Augusta.
Yeah.
Is what we decided.
Okay.
So Tiger doesn't know this yet, but you're welcome, Tiger. Jeff and I are on the team.
So I'll do my best, Mark, to put you guys in touch with Rob McNamara, Steinberg, the gang, if you will, for Tiger. And we'll see. I mean, we know that Tiger and I are on the same fitness program.
Exactly.
Right now, so.
And here's the best part. Jeff and I are doing this for like just a minimal cost compared to what they would normally pay this for. We're not talking in the millions. We're talking hundreds of thousands only.
Well, hey.
I think it's like.
To me, that's a steal.
You want the 6-screen jacket or don't you? You get what you pay for.
Yeah, well, hey, Tiger is trying to win his 6th green jacket. I don't know where to segue from that. But anyways, looking forward to seeing Mr. Woods in action this week. Okay, that wraps up Hour 1 here on GTC. Hour 2 kicks off in a couple of minutes, breaking down my experience at Augusta National. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Welcome back inside Hour 2, the back nine here on GTC, TSN 2, and the TSN Radio Network. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino here in person. And we think maybe late January, maybe early February.
We can't remember. We were together with Bob, the three of us, which was great. We got to spend some time together thanks to our friends and family at Adidas.
That's right.
At their new Tour 360 launch that we went to in Kapalua, which was awesome.
That was amazing.
And I know you've done some Adidas stuff since when I was away and you hosted some great stuff. I saw that online. It looked like a lot of fun. So they did something for our Canadian peeps as well as international. But I can't believe that's the last time, but it might be.
Yeah, I think
it might be.
I'll have to go back and, you know, the camera roll and see if we have any.
You know what it's like in this industry, Skulls. You're either unemployed or overworked. So you take, you know, not everybody can be Jim Nance, right? You know, hello, friends, 11 million later or whatever the number is, right? So you and I will take overworked.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm fine with overworked. Yeah. I'm still young enough. I turned 49 last week.
You did. Happy belated.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
you look great, by the way.
Well, thank you, Skull.
Looking spelt.
I'm trying. This gym thing's like becoming difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts, eh? Things hurt.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
That is very normal.
Okay.
Okay. Now, okay. Speaking of things hurting.
All right.
So, like, you know, like I work out a lot.
Yeah. You're like in the best shape of almost any human being I know.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm 32 years old. My shins are hurting from walking Augusta National.
Yeah. It's the biggest thing you notice the first time you get there. And you just went and did the golf course front to back, right?
So what I did. Yeah. So I got there. And I started on the first hole. Mm-hmm. I stood on the back of the first tee.
Awesome.
And I walked down, and I went to the second hole. And you can get the story from here. I did the entire golf course. Couldn't get to the back of 13, obviously.
Yeah.
Couldn't get all the way back to 14.
Yeah. Hard to get back on 11, too.
But I did. So what you have to do to to get to the back of 11, you have to go down the left side on 10.
Yes.
You can get all the way back.
Yes, and then you got to wait to cross.
Yes, you have to wait to cross. So I got to see the entire place. I took notes on every hole. I couldn't take them live at the time, but it was a long travel day yesterday with shuttles, etc. So I took some time and really just went hole by hole. And, I mean, TV doesn't do it justice.
Give me your top 5, 6, 7 observations. They can be general.
Right. Okay, so the number one thing is, like, the undulation changes.
Everybody says it. They don't believe me when I tell
them. No, I know, but it is unbelievable how steep some of the drop-offs are. Even the first hole, the first tee, it's almost like it's on a cliff.
Yep.
And you walk down, and then you're walking back up uphill. I couldn't believe, Mark, how many uphill approach shots there are into Augusta National.
Well, there you figure even one slightly up,
yep.
Right? 3 is drivable slightly up. Mm-hmm. 5
yep.
is up, especially if you're not a bomber. Yep. It's really up.
Yep.
7's up.
Definitely up.
8 is up. 9 is up. Yeah. 10 is up. People don't realize 10 is up.
Yep.
But when you get it in the speed slot down the left, which is the objective on 10, then 10 becomes up.
He shot an 11 sort of up. It's kind of a blind tee shot.
He shots up. I was just talking approaches right?
Yeah.
I haven't even got to tee shots. I'm just on approaches. if you go on grade alone, on pure grade, 13 is technically up.
100%. 14
is
definitely
14 is up. 17 is up. Yep. 18 is up. So, so to your point, everything is completely uphill, which why when we look at it and every year we go, Augusta's adding yardage to the card. I mean, what's it now off the actual back? Like close to 75?
I think at least that.
Yeah. So it's 75 that, depending on firmness, wind conditions, yada, yada, can play several hundred yards longer.
100%.
And we're getting rain. Now, here's the thing about this rain coming Thursday.
Yeah.
We know they've got the greatest sub-air system in the world.
Yes.
So it's not going to affect the firmness of the greens if they don't want it to. They can combat Mother Nature, but they can't sub-air the entire golf course.
No.
So it might play a little longer on Thursday morning than they anticipated, which could get them to make an alteration in course setup. Like, do they want it to play 77 or feel like it plays 7,700 yards on Friday? I don't know. That's up to the tournament committee.
Yeah.
A lot of that depends on what they shoot on Thursday.
100%.
You know what I mean? If they go super low on Thursday, you could see them going,
right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. We're done with this. Even par is a good score today. No one can dial in their golf course better than the tournament committee at Augusta.
Well,
I know that.
Yeah, and even some players were saying how firm and fast it was already playing. So maybe they're anticipating that.
Right.
Coming in, because we know it's going to be hot regardless.
You know, the other thing that's interesting about Augusta, and I hear these guys like Rory last week saying, you know, I got my work done last week.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you got your work done last week. It doesn't matter if you got your work done on Tuesday, if you got your work done on Wednesday. There is not a golf course on the planet and a tournament committee that can do things at will with a flip of a switch to change a golf course completely Thursday morning. This is why first-timers, Adam, have such a hard time there. They don't understand the little nuances that you're looking at and getting to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they also don't realize, you know, McGinley was talking about this the other night on Golf Central, how the first time he went to Augusta, he went, this course is gettable. Played it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's gettable. And he got there Thursday morning, and they moved the hole locations to the edges, and the greens were 2 feet faster and a foot firmer, and he went, this course is impossible. I can't break 80.
Yeah, well, you can tell that could happen. And even, you know, with some of the pin locations that they can put them on and just how severe some of the greens are. Mm-hmm. The biggest one for me, honestly, was 6. The par 3, the mound on the right side of the green, if the hole location is on there and you're...
Back right. And you know they just made it bigger?
They did.
There's 3 or 4 subtle changes to Augusta National that they've kind of quietly let go, but really haven't announced.
Yep.
They actually gained square footage there. If you had saw it a year ago, but it's still shockingly small. We're talking minor. Back middle 2 is now a hole location.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep.
That never used to be a hole location. We might see that for the first time this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple subtle spots. They do it every once in a while, but I mean, that back right hole location on 6, I don't know how you hit a golf ball there. I have no idea how you hit a golf ball.
And if you're right of that pin, and let's say you put a little too much mustard on it, Phil Mickelson did this a couple of years ago, you're 80 feet away from the hole, like this.
Yes.
And it's pretty easy to do that. Another green, 14. How severe, how narrow that green is, and humps and bounds. Those were a couple of the putting surfaces that were crazy. I found the approach shot into 9. When I looked at it, when I was standing on one of the crosswalks.
Looks like 10 stories in the air where you're standing there physically. And it's like the... You can't see anything.
To me, the phrasing I thought of immediately, this is hilariously uphill.
Yes.
Because let's say, and players are going to have wedges in there because they bomb it, right, if it's a relatively firm. And if they can't control the spin on their wedges, the ball is coming right back to their feet, 100 yards away, because the green is like this. It's wild.
What I'm hearing there is, if I stand up and thin an 8-iron, it's probably going to work out pretty well there for me.
Yeah, you just knife a little 8 up there. If you're above
just a couple
hole,
of grooves low, yeah, on that 8, take the spin right off of it.
Yeah, just throw it right up there. Yeah, that was, oh man, that was looking at that.
Yeah, I'm curious of this food. I want to know.
Oh, you want to know? Got,
I want
to know. You want to know, do you?
You tease me on the other side, and
yeah,
it's like...
Oh yeah.
So did you get into pimento and cheese? Okay. Did you get into multiple?
So we spent last week talking about the food, and you and Bob both said you got to have the pimento cheese.
Have to do it out of the gates because it's your first time.
You might not like it.
Yes.
I said, all right. So we arrived last Saturday, went for the egg salad,
yep,
right away.
Tremendous.
Initially.
Really good.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
The egg salad can only be, there's only two things with egg salad. You either like it or you don't like it. I don't think there's like great egg salads.
Right.
So it's fine.
Now, how Bob had 13 of those last year, like, I'm still worried about his health.
Growing feathers.
Yes, his stomach. Yeah, there's a lot of things. But then I thought, you know, Sunday, have a coffee, pimento cheese. I got to tell you, Mark, I didn't hate it.
You are Mr. Pimento Cheese.
Now, I only had one.
Okay, well, that's a smart move, because anymore, I don't know what it does to your insides. And you and I have...
We have issues.
We have genetic, historical stomach issues,
yes,
that if we make a bad decision at the wrong time,
yeah,
it'd be catastrophic, yes, for you and I.
Yes. Yeah, we won't go into any more
detail. No, we don't need any more detail than
with
that.
With that, but... so the pimento cheese, but I got to tell you, like, it had a little kick to it, a little spice. I was pleasantly surprised.
Did you have an azalea?
I did not have.
Okay.
There's 6 sandwiches, I believe.
No, azalea is the signature cocktail.
Oh.
Well, you can make this at home.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah.
Right.
It's your vodka of a choice. I believe at Augusta, the vodka of choice is Grey Goose, but depending on where you are on the property, you can go Arnold Palmer Kettle One. You can do other things.
So right.
It is a shot of vodka,
mm-hmm,
lemonade.
Ooh.
Which is, and it's actually like the clear lemonade. It's not pink. What makes it pink in color is not the lemonade. It is a half a shot of grenadine, which pinks it up, and then a slice of orange. And
oh,
that is the same. That is their, to the Kentucky Derby, the mint julep, the azalea is. And unlike the pimento cheese, you can have 6-7 azaleas and be very happy.
I mean, I'm sure after having 6 or 7 azaleas, the pimento cheese might be tolerable after that. But hey, honestly, I was pleasantly surprised with the pimento cheese. Like, pleasantly surprised. Also ate in the restaurant by the media center.
Yes.
Really good clam chowder.
Chowder.
Really love myself some clam chowder. Nice chicken, fried chicken with macaroni. That was also a good menu. A couple other sandwiches. There's the chicken club. Or the club, and then there's the original chicken. I'll have to get the names down because
did you keep it under $800 in the
great question?
Because back when I first started going in 2003, the average spend was $800 for a first time visitor,
right?
Or I think any patron to begin with, the average spend was $800. Keep in mind, the only place you can get anything Augusta is on the ground. So that person's also taking orders for friends and family and yada yada. Now that number has moved and eclipsed above 1,000.
Wow.
The average spend on property.
Okay. So
drum roll.
$790.
Wow. So you're old school. I like it. You're old school.
I'm old school. Now, I could have spent $1,000.
Right,
I could have
easily
spent more. I could have redecorated my condo with Masters Paraphernalia, my better half, Taylor.
I'm sure Taylor would have loved that. I'm sure Taylor...
She would be like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we... Yeah, anyway.
This is why I've got a 10x12 studio now in my yard. because Mrs. Golf Talk Canada basically kicked everything I own out of the house.
But you know, to your point, had some gifts to buy friends. So I actually,
yes,
no phone. So I wrote down, put it in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Got some hats for people in the newsroom. I got a hat for myself. Got some great wine glasses.
Nice,
really nice,
yes,
stemless wine glasses.
Yes.
Beer koozies. Got a great sweater for Mama Skulls.
Mama Skulls needs a, yes,
needs a
nice. How's her? Is she still striping it down in Naples? Like career?
I'm surprised
it?
Ruth isn't playing in the Masters. I mean,
it's that
she's
good.
Just breaking 80.
I thought we might have saw her at the Augusta National Women's Amateur.
I mean,
I really thought, like,
the way she's trending, she's actually on a bird very shortly coming home to Toronto to watch the Masters. She's back.
Nice.
Full
so
time.
Back for the year. Back to Open Bayview.
Bayview's opening April 25th.
So and the Hunt Club opens Monday.
Monday,
it's going to be 15 degrees, mix of sun and cloud, opening day at the Toronto Hunt. So after radio, Angry Mike and I, I know we got to go to break quickly. Did you get emotional at any point? The reason I ask you this, I've been to, I think, 15 or 16 Masters.
Right.
But my first Masters was in 2003.
Yeah.
And I got to do it with my dad on a Tuesday. It was the Tuesday practice round.
Right.
And my dad and I, we walked the golf course. This is 21 years ago, so my dad would have been in his late 60s.
Uh-huh.
Probably 69. Sorry, what am I talking about? He's 80, 81, so he would have been 60. Yeah, about 60, 59, 60, 61. See, my math. It's
been math.
All right, sorry. So we went on a, did the one. It was very emotional for me to get to do it with my dad.
Yeah.
At the see Amen Corner for the first time. It got me a couple times.
Yeah, so the most it got me was at Amen Corner.
Yeah,
and
that's the same here.
Yeah, I definitely, I got a little choked up for sure. I had goosebumps, and there was no one hitting golf shots.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'm just looking around, and I mean, it's like you're standing on where so much has happened.
Yeah.
And like, I'm getting chills right now thinking.
It also happened in my first WrestleMania, but we won't get into that right now.
Yeah, but even like you're standing there, and I was in front of the bleachers, and I'm looking to my left, and first of all, that water hazard comes in so much more on the 11th green than it appears on television, at least to me anyway. I don't know how 11's not a par.
Right, hitting a 3-wood in there, like some of the older guys still playing ceremonially.
100%.
Or even if you're Brian Harman, if Brian Harman's going to be hitting hybrids, and if it gets wet and he gets a wind at him, you got a Brian Harman out there with my ball speed. Not your ball speed. No. He's got my ball. We're about the same size.
Right.
He's got one more claret jug than I do, but I'm trying hard for now.
Yeah.
Hey, we're chewing the clock here.
It's fine.
Okay?
But even still, like, and you can, I was so curious. I got as close as I could to the 12th tee, and with the wind was starting to pick up, walking down 11. But when you're standing on that tee, man, you can't feel it at all.
Well, the worst, you can't feel it if at times.
Yeah.
And then there's times when you're standing at 12 and they've got those grandstands that sit behind the 12th tee.
Right.
And I have sat in that grandstand over the year on numerous times. And you look at 11 and the flag's going one way, and you look at 12 and the flag's going in completely opposite direction. And you've got to pick a club on that 12th tee, and you're getting two different winds within 100 yards of one another.
Yeah.
And the depth of the 12th green looks like the depth of a billiards table.
I was going to say that.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you're at that point, like, seriously, I'd be aiming for a bunker. I would go middle of the green and play to the back edge. And if I get in the back bunker, I'm okay as long as I don't get it to the downslope of the back. But I think you can get up and down pretty easily if you're a decent bunker player, which obviously PGA Tour professionals. But as long as you get it to the flat or the upslope's minimal there, but anything other than the back slope of that bunker, you can make three all day as long as you're got your head and your nerves in check.
Yeah.
All day you can make
100%.
It. 100%. That's why over the years when I see guys kind of back right on Sunday, we've seen it so many times, and they get the ball right of that flag. Mm-hmm. If you get the ball right of that flag on 12, I mean, you've never watched a Masters and you're a moron.
No.
At that
point.
You're a complete moron.
Yeah.
And it's happened over the years. We've seen it.
It really has. And to put a bow on my experience walking around. Yeah. No. The grass, like, it legitimately looks fake. It is so nice. It is so pristine.
Edges of the bunkers look fake.
The snip, snip, snip around the bunkers for sure. The sand, how white it looks, to be quite honest. The entire place is incredible. If you ever win the lottery, if you get a chance to go down, cancel all life plans. Get down to Augusta National. Go see it. I've said this to people off air. I'll say it on air. That was a top five life experience for me. And I walked a golf course alone. It just has that much history. Obviously, we're golf nuts. But that was just something that I will never forget. And I'm looking forward to hopefully getting down again at some point again very soon. Okay, when Golf Talk Canada comes back, some of the major storylines into this week. I'm curious about Mark's take on Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler. How about some other players? We'll discuss that and much more next.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Welcome back inside Golf Talk Canada on TSN 2 and TSN Radio Network. Adam Scully alongside Mark Sacchino. We should mention Bob Weeks is at Augusta National. And Mark, Bob, I know you're going to be just so shocked by this. Bob brought his running gear to Augusta.
I am not shocked at all. And especially if Bob's getting ready for something. Do we know? Because if he's getting ready for something, because I remember he mentioned to us in Kapalua that there was something on the calendar for the spring that he needed to start to take serious.
Sounds right.
And you know what's amazing about Bob?
A lot of things.
You know, last year he broke his best time in a marathon.
Yeah.
As he's getting older, he broke his best time. Wow. And we talked about like why and stuff. A, he's in amazing shape. His training's smarter. But he also talked like about technology and shoes and things like that. And regardless, I mean, it would like be like Bob. Like Bob getting faster in a marathon is like Bob coming into the studio and told us he's flying at 292. I mean, good on him. I mean,
maybe that's next.
Awesome for him.
Speech.
I wish. Yeah. I wish.
You and I both. But Weeksy's down there. Lots of great storylines heading into this week. And you had an interesting point to Johan about Rory. How you're not so high on him this week, are you?
Well, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, because I love Rory, and I think it's a great story. And I think other than Tiger Woods winning, the biggest story on property is Rory McIlroy 100%. Completing a career Grand Slam, which has been so hard to do at Augusta, as we know. And as you go longer in your career trying to get that achievement, it becomes so difficult and almost impossible. Most people who complete the career Grand Slam get it done in their first three or four attempts. They don't do it in their ninth attempt. Or whatever this is for Rory, it's certainly feeling that way. It's been 10 years.
Yep.
So for 10 years, he's been trying to complete a career Grand Slam. So this is his ninth or 10th attempt at it. I think he's got 10th. There you go. His 10th try. So he's 0 for 9. He's had concentration issues this year. I have outlined those for like throughout our Golf Talk Canada season. He plays his best golf when it doesn't count. When he has nothing to lose from the back of the bus, he looks as good as anyone ever who has played this game. He's played golf swing this year, not golf, because he's fought that little miss to the left that you and I talked about in January with the short irons. And
that's continuing now with Butch.
So if Rory somehow... There's two ways Rory can complete a career Grand Slam in my mind, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
If somehow, miraculously, he arrives Thursday morning and has this freedom that he used to play the game with as a youngster, when he used to win the U.S. Open by 8 shots, and he was like, he would go out and he would paint. He was a painter. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a scientist. He was a painter. Some golfers are tacticians. Yep. And they're machine-like. And some are painters. Rory's a painter. Scottie Scheffler's a painter. Yesterday, 100%. He spoke to the media. He said, at this point, I've done my work. I'm just looking for feels and hitting shots. Think about that. I'm looking for feels and hitting shots.
Mm-hmm.
Rory's out there, like, building a computer. or putting together an engine. He's got a Cadillac, and he's taking apart the Cadillac engine, and he's trying to put it back together. Yeah. If he shows up on Thursday and somehow plays like the guy who's trailing by 10, then look out. I just don't think he's mentally and emotionally capable of doing that. The only other way he wins, if Rory is not in the last group, penultimate group, or possibly even in the third to last. If he is in the fourth to last group, I think third to last is too close. Mm-hmm. But somewhere trailing where he can shoot 62 on Sunday and the people in front of him have a rough Sunday, yeah, he can win.
Okay.
I don't see Rory being in the final pair on Sunday or penultimate group on Sunday and winning this championship. I think he will play so tight and so uncomfortable. I don't see it.
The thing with Rory for this week, he said a couple things. One, he says he has learned that you can't win the golf tournament on Thursday.
I love that
mentality. Yes.
Just go play. I love that. So I hope though, but he has verbalized that.
Uh-huh. Will it happen?
Yeah, can he feel that? Can he take that in?
Right.
I don't know.
And this is his 16th Masters. He's only shot in the 60s in the opening round twice.
You know his scoring average on Thursday was a 73 point something?
Yeah.
It's 73 point fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. It's over par. Right?
Yeah. You're behind the eight ball and in a big way early. And about working with Butch, I think there is going to be some golf swing versus just playing golf and painting, to your point. But if he has found one swing feel and it's working and he could apply that and play well, who knows?
Well, no, 100%. He's got to go up and just, like you say, hit paint, and you need a fairway finder.
Yeah.
And he needs to come out of the gates with a fairway finder. So if I'm Rory, I'm depending on the wind or whatnot, he hits that three wood so good and hits it almost as far as he wants. On that first hole on Thursday, I'm grabbing three wood and I'm hitting it as straight as I can. Mm-hmm. No shape. I'm just hitting it straight down the middle. Or I'm taking driver and I'm aiming it in the forest on the left and I'm trying to hit literally a 40, 50 yard cut. Don't try to. The worst thing Rory can do on the opening tee shot on Thursday, remember this, the worst thing he can do is to try to hit a 10 yard fade or a 10 yard draw with driver on Thursday. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Something subtle. Because that's when the nerves and the angst and all those cobwebs come back. If you're going to hit a cut, get up there and hit a Wyndham Clark. Aim it in the woods and make sure that ball cuts. Yeah. And it's hard to move the modern golf ball, especially a TP5X. I mean, it's the straightest golf ball I've ever hit in my life.
Right.
It's incredible. So if you're going to get up there and hit cut. Do not try to hit some steery little, because it's not him.
Right.
Just get up. Wyndham Clark it off the left trees or hit three wood. And I do the same thing on two. Aim it at that bunker on the right at two and just swing a hook. Don't hit a draw. Okay. Just swing a hook. By the way, hit a three wood. You know how easy it is for him to turn a three wood. Mm-hmm. He hits a three wood 320 when he wants to. And then I'm out of the gates.
Yeah.
Get to that third tee at one under par on Thursday and now start painting.
Yeah. And now play golf. Well, Rory McIlroy looking for the career grand slam. He's missed the cut in two of his last three appearances at the Masters. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, an all-time Masters edition of Winners, Weird, and What.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first-ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully and Zacchino here. Well, since it is Masters Week, there have been so many great moments over the years, weird, wacky, wild, the works. So we thought we'd do an all Masters edition of Winners, Weird, and What. So this week, Mark, the tee is yours.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't
handle the truth.
All right, Skulls, I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a very long time.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to give Phil Mickelson his flowers this week because since he joined the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, we have forgotten some of the magnificent things he has done and the joy that he used to bring the golf community. He was the closest thing to Arnold Palmer that this generation or the last two generations have really seen in the game of golf prior to selling your soul, right? Once you sell your soul, it's hard to be called Arnold Palmer. But there was a period of time where Phil was must-see TV. So I'm going to give you an all Phil Mickelson winners, weird, and what edition of all-time Masters. My winner, going back to his third green jacket, pine straw, 6-iron, right side of 13. He's got a chance to win. He's leading the golf tournament. Doesn't have to do anything crazy. From the pine straw, a hook, a high hook, around the trees, over the creek, onto the green at 13. I think he put it inside 15 feet. Ended up missing the putt. Easy birdie, but one of the greatest shots you will ever see in the history of the Masters en route to his third green jacket. Do you remember where your thought when you saw him going for it? What went through your head?
Just Phil being Phil, baby. And I think it was more like 5 feet. I thought it was that close? Pretty close, but I know he missed the putt.
I remember him missing the putt.
But then when he's explained in the years later why he did it and talking about how he wanted, you know, like a 6-iron instead of a 9-iron because you can mishit a 9-iron or a wedge out of that lie. I was like, pardon me, but...
Head scrambled eggs at that point, right? But pretty awesome. One of the greatest shots you ever see. You know, we've had so many history of winning shots over the years at Augusta National. You think about that one for Phil. You figure the chip in for Tiger at 16. I mean, you can go back to 1935 and Gene Sarazen and the shot heard around the world with the albatross on 15. I mean, Augusta has always given us those moments. Phil gave us one there. Okay, my weird, let's go to his second green jacket. This is before adjustability. Now, you and I right now can go into our bag, our TaylorMade golf bag, and I can take my QI10LS, which, by the way, Golf Spy, who has not been kind to TaylorMade Golf Spy, because they can't understand the technology behind the TP5X. So they don't, like, I've argued with the people at Golf Spy before, but, like, they're missing the best ball in the world, and have you not seen what Rory McIlroy does with this thing? They just rated the QI10LS by far the fastest driver of 2024. Came out this morning.
Oh, that's why I didn't see it, yeah.
You and I can take our LS. I can play draw. I can play fade. I can move weight to toe, weight to heel. This is prior to adjustability. What did Phil Mickelson do for his second green jacket? He carried a fade driver and a draw driver. So he had two different drivers. The one driver also was an inch shorter. The other one was an inch longer. So he had the bomber driver, the fairway finder driver. He had the cut and the draw. We've seen Phil play Frankensteiner three wood and take driver out of the bag. He's done everything. It's weird. It's crazy the way he thinks about the game and thinks outside the box. But two drivers to win Augusta, that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And something that has never been done. And Mark, to your point about adjustability with drivers, I doubt it will be done again. But on the point on drivers, just completely unrelated.
No, get in there.
There's rumors that Rory has been testing the new TaylorMade Burner Mini driver copper at Augusta this week. Rumors on the Twitter machine.
So. Tommy Fleetwood had it in the bag last week of the Valero Texas Open. He was carrying the QI 10 Max and the Burner Mini. He had them both in the bag.
And there was a photo as well, Tiger holding one, but I'm not sure if that was Freddie Couples, because I know Freddie Couples has used a similar model, but there was a photo of Tiger holding the driver from yesterday. So
very
I'm not
cool.
sure if it's going to be his.
It looks like it's obviously a retro throwback with the copper.
Yep.
So I had the originals when I was in my 20s, late teens and 20s. I'm wondering if I get it, if I will feel like I did at 20 again. That would be wonderful if I just put it in the bag and everything got young and healthy again.
Okay.
How cool would
that be? Maybe after this strenuous work you've been doing in the gym, maybe you're starting to feel
flexible.
All right. There's only been a handful of people in the history of Augusta National that have won with a birdie winning putt or a par saving putt on the 72nd hole. We just saw it in the Augusta Women's Amateur.
That's right.
That's sunny. Very cool. I go back to, Marco Mira. I mean, there's not many. It is a handful. But in 2004, when Phil Mickelson was still on an annual basis answering the question, when are you going to win a major? You are the best player, second best player of this generation behind Tiger Woods. You have been world number two forever and a day. When are you going to rip the monkey off your back? What a moment. Is it his time?
Yeah.
And he got at least 3 inches of air.
Okay.
He'll say
that
3 feet.
That remains to be seen.
Yeah, he'll say 3 feet. It was like 2.5, 3 inches of air. What a great moment that he gave us on the 72nd hole. So, Phil, you got your flowers. I'm upset you went to the Harlem Globetrotters, and I think this is likely the year. I know he's been working very hard on his game, This is likely the year Father Time finally catches up with Phil Mickelson. I think last year was his last hurrah. We will see. Yep. I'd be shocked if he was in the mix. That does it for me. All right, Skulls, the tee is yours, sir.
348. Oh, man, that is sweet.
Well, when you think of great moments in Masters history, you can think of, Jack Nicklaus in 86. You can think of Tiger Woods in 05. There's great moments every year, but you know me, I love watching Tiger Woods play. And when you think of 2019, the comeback, he's my winner for the Masters edition all-time three-dub. Tiger Woods 2019, to come back the way he did 11 years after winning his last major championship, everything that went on off the golf course, controversy, injury, et cetera, this was a humanizing victory. The hug with his son, Charlie, brought it all together. But even that final round, I remember that Sunday morning, we were sitting in these very seats because the final round was earlier that Sunday with the weather coming in. They teed off at about 10 o'clock, I believe. And we sat here, and I said, I think we're going to be talking about a Tiger Woods green jacket winning number 5. That 2019 victory was so special, wasn't it?
In my mind, I remember, I think it's the greatest comeback in sports history.
I agree.
You try to think of other, Mario Lemieux coming back from leukemia.
Yeah.
Even with the drugs and the Lance Armstrong, I mean, incredible, regardless, I kind of look at Lance Armstrong the way I look at Ben Johnson. He just got caught, right? Yeah. Not that it makes it good or
everyone
ethical.
Was doping. Yeah,
but the whole, the race with Ben Johnson, everybody was doping. We know that now. He just didn't have the right timing. Whatever. Ben Hogan, car crash, U.S. Open. I think Tiger, when you consider, not because it's physical, emotional, mental, in a time in history where your life is lived exposed 24/7, he was the butt of late night jokes as well. That people forget. I think it's the greatest comeback. I really do, and unbelievable. And if we listen, people forget that Jack came close after 86.
Yeah.
Jack came close in the 90s when he was, with all due respect, an old man.
Yeah.
If Tiger can walk. I think if Tiger can walk, I believe he has a better opportunity of being on that leaderboard Sunday than, say, a Phil Mickelson.
If Tiger wins this week, is this victory more impressive than 2019?
Of course. I mean, I don't know, because the emotional and the mental is not there anymore in a sense, but physically it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a greater comeback physically. Would it be a greater story comeback knowing that everything that one represented? Probably not. Because now he's beloved again. He's a mentor. Johan said what a nice person he is to be around now. He was a killer back in the day. He wasn't friendly Tiger. This is a different Tiger. Sorry.
No. So
you got to get through this.
Well, yeah, we're running a little late, so I'll go a little quicker here on my weird. Zach Johnson, 2019 Masters, second round, 13th tee. He's always been known to take his practice swing a little close to the golf ball. What did he do? He hit the ball in his practice swing. The ball bounced up 4 yards in front of him. Zach Johnson swore. We never see Zach Johnson swear. He thought, now what do I do? But because there was no actual intent to hit the golf ball, didn't count. He's done this again a couple of times. Dude, just stand a little further away. I mean, it seems pretty...
Idiosyncrasies in your pre-shot. Yeah. Hard to break them.
Come on. Okay. And my what this week? Scottie Scheffler is the favorite this week by far. 2022 Masters, 72nd hole. He's got a 5-shot lead. You can tell walking up the fairway, that very uphill fairway, by the way. You know, he's enjoying the moment. He's starting to get a little emotional. Hey, Teddy, we're going to win the Masters. We're going to do this. He's got 40 feet for birdie. Think, just two-putt birdie. Or two-putt par. No problem. You know, 3 feet away. He's got a par putt coming back. Misses it. Okay. He's got a 3-putt to win. It's going to be a great 4-shot win. No problem, right? Misses that one, too. So now it's sort of like, okay, he's 3 shots up. He's got about a foot, maybe. Taps it in. So what a way to win your first Masters, your first major championship. I think Scottie Scheffler, if he does win this week, don't think we'll see a 4-putt on the 72nd hole, but hey.
I think he could win by 5 or more this week. It would not shock me at all.
Yeah.
We didn't get into my equipment issues. We're going to have to save
Okay.
We'll have to save it for Monday.
Okay, we can do that.
Monday or Wednesday next week, we can save it.
We can do that.
They're not bad issues. It's just I'm kind of taken by it. Like, I'm surprised. I don't know what to make of this. And on the Scottie Scheffler in closing, before you go to break, how nice is it for Ted Scott to be able to win the Masters with someone he likes and a nice individual for a change, instead of dealing with a complete psychopath on the and I'll say this time and time again, I understand that, you know, I'm not making fun of Bubba Watson's mental health. I would never do that. And people have their battles, and I'm glad we talk about these things, and good for Bubba and getting help and talking about that. But that doesn't give you an excuse to be a bad person and verbally abusive to the guy who works for you.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse.
Yeah.
A lot of us deal with problems away from our careers. People don't know what happens at home behind closed doors. People carry stuff around. And hopefully you have a network of people, you know, whatever it is you're dealing with in life. It's not an excuse to be bad to people. Mm-hmm. And so good on, I love the fact that Ted Scott's got a good guy, good support system, and they're off winning majors and not part of the Harlem Globetrotters. Okay, that's my speech.
And Ted Scott's looking for his fourth career time winning a green, or helping his player win a green jacket. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll tell you where you can watch us throughout the week on our Masters coverage. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
And stay tuned to our social media channel for some upcoming new giveaways with our friends from Adidas coming up in the next couple of weeks. Where did the time go?
I know. We didn't touch on anything.
No.
Like, literally nothing. I didn't get into my first-timers conversation.
Right.
I think Wyndham Clark's going to surprise a lot of people this week. I think Ludvig Åberg is going to surprise a lot of people this week. I think after Scottie Scheffler, it's pretty wide open. I'm leaning hard on greens and regulation, and greens and regulation, including fringe. Leaning hard on par five scoring.
Yep.
Going to be interesting.
Did you see the shirt Wyndham Clark was wearing yesterday?
Yes. Was that a peach-inspired shirt? Like, I caught it, like, late in the pressers. Remember, I got home late. So I'm playing catch-up on everything. I don't have to do any prep because, I've worked every week of the year, so I tell you what, you know, Tom Hoagie shot in the second round of the Valspar. So,
all right. Can everyone do that?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, I literally have not stopped, but that's a good thing. Good thing is, like, we can just keep going, plow right through, plow right, you know.
That was quite a shirt.
Who do you like? Okay, we got a few minutes left. Give me your three guys really quick here.
Okay, I'm going Scotty. Yep. I think Scotty's primed.
Yeah.
You know me and Brooks Koepka.
It took me a lot. You know why I had Brooks Koepka originally on my team? You know why I took him off my team? Which is hilarious. LIV Golf played their first real golf course of the year this year.
Yeah.
They were in Miami at Doral, and Doral was tuned up. Sergio Garcia even said in the presser, this is the first real golf course we've played all year. I think the last time we played a golf course like this was Valderrama, he said. Because the rest of the year, we've been playing short golf courses that are slow and not tuned up. And Koepka shot 1,000 at Miami.
Yep.
I took him off my radar, which is weird. So go ahead.
Okay, and I've got Xander as my pick. Okay, we got about 30 seconds left.
I got Xander and Scotty too. So those two, you and I, are on exactly the same page. Yep. And I pulled Koepka off my side. I was trying to decide between Wyndham Clark and one other person. I went with one other person. I went with Hideki Matsuyama because, in my opinion, he shot the round of the year, 62 at Riviera. Watch out for Hideki this week.
Well, it's going to be so much fun. The Masters is back. You'll be part of TSN at the Masters in the morning. We'll be together for Masters prime time for the second straight year. Prime time. Can't wait for that. The Masters is back. It's the best week of the year. We're back on GTC tonight, 11 p.m., TSN2. Thanks so much for joining us today. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/Tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit GolfTalkCanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network.